Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We are kicking off this weekend a five-part series that we do each time this time of year, focusing on the individual Tuolumne County supervisors. We're kicking things off this weekend with District 5 Supervisor Carl Rotifer. Supervisor Rotifer, I know the county is going to have to pass a final budget in the weeks ahead. And just on the budget topic in general, you know, what are your thoughts on the challenges facing the county?
Well, obviously, we'll lose revenues associated with COVID. Property tax, not so much. Sales tax, certainly we'll lose some. We have realized over the historic course of COVID, the last few months, several months, some reduced revenues in certain areas, revenue areas. On the other hand, interestingly enough, do-it-yourself projects and home improvement projects and stuff like that, as well as a continued pretty healthy boom in planned development has brought in some unplanned revenues through our community development department. So it's not all bad news. In the main, obviously, we're down on revenues some. But also, on top of the development revenue increases that were a little unexpected, obviously, the CARES Act funding is helping us a lot, too. That also has some pluses and minuses. The plus is that it balances out some of the lost revenue that we've got. There's two negatives. It comes with a lot of handcuffs from the state because, you know, it limits us on how we can use that money. And if we don't use it right, then we end up having to pay it back. And that guidance is not always clear cut. So we're constantly having to get permission, if you will, or make sure that we're doing it right. The real big negative on it is we have, and those of us that are responsible for the budget are very cognizant of this, but we have to keep sight of that revenue because when COVID goes away, that goes away. And to the extent that we are doing some of our normal day-to-day services in a COVID environment and that complies with that, and we're paying for it with CARES Act funding, we need to get our revenues back up again to supplant that when that CARES Act funding goes away. So we really need to be careful about not only how we spend it, but how we budget going forward so that we don't dig ourselves into a hole that we can't afford to get out of later.
When putting together a budget, you know, for you as a supervisor individually, what would you say are your top priorities for the county?
Well, by state law, by state constitution, our number one priority is public safety. And this board and all previous boards that I've been associated with, that is our number one priority. Having said that, there's a lot of things that go into public safety. It's not just the sheriff's department and county fire. I think our roads are, you know, part of public safety. Public health is part of public safety. Environmental health is part of public safety. There's a lot of things that go into that total public safety rubric. But public safety is always going to be number one. And as long as I'm on the board, I'll fight for that all day long.
What's your opinion about the juvenile hall at this point and whether it's sustainable looking into the future?
Actually, I think the news is better on the juvenile hall than it's been. I think that over with our chief probation officer working with the counties that feed that juvenile hall, we've gotten more revenue out of them for their inmates and everything. I think the juvenile hall is proving itself to be really a force multiplier in terms of, you know, getting people early out of the bad criminal kind of track and back into productive society. I'm very much for it. Obviously, the affordability of it is something that we have to deal with, and we are. The we're dealing with that two ways. One is with the other counties that we're partnering with, but also at the state level. I believe that the statewide, the juvenile detention system needs to be supported by the state as well, and we're working very, very hard on that. But we're in a good place now, or a better place now. We can get an even better place, and we're continuing to work on that.
Do you have any strong opinions about things like libraries and recreation during these times?
Well, BJ, you know, I know a lot of things have changed since, you know, 40 years ago, or no, more than that, 60 years ago when I was growing up. But I lived in the library pretty much. I loved reading books. I had a library card from the time I was I had one in Torrance, California from the time I got there in sixth grade, and I think I probably had a library card where I lived before that. I think libraries are very, very important, and recreation as well. You know, I was a multi-sport athlete, and, you know, the things I learned in the library and on an athletic field or a recreation activity, they made me who I am today, and I think we need to continue those to the extent that we possibly can. I think that there's some ways, and we're doing that in this budget drill. There's some ways that we can look at restructuring how we do those things, what kind of public participation, financial participation in the way of maybe some rec fees or whatever. But they're important, and I'll do my best to keep them to the extent that we can.
I also want to ask you about the mock fire from an insider's view. We reported on the Board of Supervisors meeting from Tuesday in regards to the praise that was given to the first responders. But what did you witness as a supervisor during the mock fire?
Well, I will tell you that our Emergency Operations Center, because that's what I see. Okay, I'm not typically out on the fire footprint. I do normally try to get to, if we have evacuation centers, I try to get to the evacuation center if I can. I do go to the base camp, fire base camp occasionally. In Rim Fire, I went every day. This one, I didn't go every day, but I had some other things that were going on. But the base, you know, I see very limited amounts of the actual firefighting activity, but the Emergency Operations Center is where we do all the coordinating, all the support for the people that are really doing the job, which is obviously the fire departments, both local and CAL FIRE, and our sheriff's department, and all the cooperating agencies that do mutual aid in an emergency like that. So all of the support for all of that gets done in the EOC. And I got to tell you, our EOC coordinator, Liz Peterson, ran a really tight ship. And it was, compared to the first few days of Rim Fire, the first few days of the mock fire were really incredibly smooth at the EOC. And all of the participants in there did their part. One of the visions that I'll never forget, our Chief Cashy, the first day when we met at 10 o'clock in the morning, walked in his yellow Nomex and apologized for being a Nomex because he had just come off of the fire. What a lot of people didn't know was he was fighting a fire up in Napa County the day before. And at the end of that duty day for him, he drove home from Napa County and went immediately to our fire. And he came in the next morning, and it's still in his Nomex. And that's how really on edge we were in those opening days. We had very limited resources on a fire that had a huge potential to get out of hand very rapidly. I can't say enough about the firefighters. and what they did. And I can't say enough about our sheriff's department and the deputies and what they did in the evacuation. I will tell you, Sheriff Pooley is reluctant to, he'll be very happy to issue an evacuation warning, but he's very reluctant to issue an evacuation order. If he tells you to get out, you need to get out. And he did, and they did, and I got to thank the communities that did evacuate. They did it very well, and they were very supportive of the sheriff's request or order. So I really think that this thing, we dodged a howitzer bullet. I am not kidding you. If that had gotten in the drainage that's off of Jackass Creek that runs south to north up the hill to Groveland and Big Oak Flat, we would have probably lost the better part of both of those communities. And the fact that they could stop that on the west side of Priest Coulterville Road and not get into that drainage, that was some pretty heroic stuff in some terrible terrain.
Need to take one more break. Talking to Supervisor Carl Rotifer, who represents District 5 on this weekend's Motherlode Views. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.